Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Carl.
Mr. Chairman,
any other commissioners have any questions to Carl or Mike?
Commissioner Patel here. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
A long-term easement, does it mean that in perpetuity they will have that ownership right? Can they transfer that to somebody else in the future? Or do we have automatic veto right?
They have a, they were, their easement is in perpetuity. The temporary easement goes away in 2 years, and then the water line easement, which is 20 feet wide, takes over, as well as the pump station easement will be in perpetuity as well. I can tell you that the easements are non-exclusive, meaning we reserving all of our rights to do other things within those easement areas if we have to. Again, this is water, this is land that we're not, that we own, so we want to make sure we preserve whatever rights we might need to do other things in there. I don't know what that would be. We can't identify them right now, but we're preserving all those rights. But yes, they do have the ability to stay there permanently, and this would be assigned to another owner of the Ski Sundown property. But again, this would be subject to all the same terms and conditions that we have in there now. They wouldn't be able to get out from underneath those.
Commissioner Patel again, easement allows them only to have the pipe, nothing else. They can't build a road on it. They can't do something else on it. Am I correct?
You are correct. It's just to operate a water line that's going to run from the pump station all the way up to a pond on their property, and we're under the impression that most of the pipe across our land is going to be below grade. Depends what kind of rocks they run into and trees and stumps and things. They may have to have some of it above grade that's going to be covered, but no, they can't build a road over it now.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
any other questions?
This is Scott. Mr. Chairman,
yes,
this is Scott Jellison. Hi. I just want to add, and some of the commissioners may remember this, but just for everyone's benefit, we spent a lot of time communicating with the stakeholders on this project, including the community and DEEP and Rivers Alliance and such. So everyone, all the environmental groups were very supportive of this project for one reason, because the water that they're going to use to make snow will actually is in the watershed of the East Branch of the Farmington River. So all this snow water that we utilize is going to go back into the river versus diverting water from their river, which is a very, you know, it's really a jeopardized stream that really doesn't have much stream flow. So the environmental groups are very supportive of the project.
Okay, thank you, Scott. Do we have a motion to move this forward?
So moved.
This is a resolution. Okay, we have a second.
Gary LaBelle.
Second.
Okay, thank you, Bud. Thank you, Andy. Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed. Okay, motion passes. Number five, consideration potential action 2021 district water rates. Staff. Scott, you going to take this, sir?
Sorry, John Myrtle or Chris Levesque?
Yeah, this is John Myrtle. These are the proposed water rates for 2021. We held the public hearing last night, and based on in your materials, you'll see that the originally published materials had a proposed water rate increase from $3.97 to $4.09. Last week at the Board of Finance, based on several resolutions that they passed, in order to effectuate those changes passed by Board of Finance, at the end of your materials for that, for item number five, there is a proposed amendment with the updated water rate of $4.05.
And that, just to add to that, Scott Jellison, it was 412, then it went down to 409. And the way we got it down to 405 is because of increased revenues on the fire protection, and so that's how we got down to 405.
Okay, so that's about a 75% increase in the overall water bill for a average customer. What would it take to bring that down to zero increase? Percent increase.
I don't know if Chris Martin or Lisa's there, but we were at when we started this at 412. We were at increase of 3.78% on the water rate, and that was at 412. And by bringing it down to 405, we went down to 1.12%, I believe. So,
yeah, and at 405, Scott, I believe Chris Martin told me it's a 0.75% increase, so it's like 0.75% increase. What would it have taken? Do you have any idea what it would have taken to reduce it by another 0.75%? Would that come in with a 0% increase?
Scott, this is Chris Martin. It's basically, we're talking about going from 405 to back to 397. So it's the equivalent of 8 cents. And I think we figure what two cents equals how much, Scott? I know you're like Rain Man remembering these numbers.
Five, 8 cents would be about, 5 cents is $1 million. So you're talking.
A million three.
Okay.
Yeah. Million four.
Million four.
That was Lisa.
Okay. No, I'm just asking an estimate. Okay, does any commissioners have any questions or statements?
Chairman, I have a question. This is Commissioner Payne.
Yes.
There was some questions from the consumer advocate on some large increases. Not sure if it was on the fire protection or if it was on special charges.
Meters.
Someone could answer those.
So this is Chris Martin. I believe the consumer advocate was talking about the phasing in the fire protection charges for the larger meters. We will look at that. As he said, it's not a very big or significant impact dollar-wise, but it's a question of whether or not the board would like to phase those in over a couple of years or not.
Chris Martin, this is Scott Jellison. Is Chris Levesque on the call?
Yes, this is Chris Levesque.
All right, so a question for Chris. So I'm not quite sure which there's a number of different fire protection charges, and I'm not quite sure which one Mr. Silverstone is referring to.
Yep.
But the 6-inch fire service and the 16, the 20, and the 24, the 16, the 20, and the 24 are new charges that we've never charged. So people who have that size have that size service has been paying the 12-inch charge forever. And so everyone else has been supplementing them. So the concern or question was a significant increase in that. Well, the reality is that everyone's been paying their share for a long time. So that's why we added a 16, a 20, and a 24. We don't have any 24-inch services, but we do have a 16 and we do have a 20. The 16 being Portland, the 20 being Unionville. So those communities are served with a main that serves you know, upwards to 2 million gallons a day. And they've never really been paying their fair share on fire protection. So we don't believe that we should phase in anything on those. On the 6-inch fire service, and I'm assuming the fire service, you know, we can look at that. But there is significant increases on the meter sizes, and that's why I'm not quite sure what the question is. We have increased the charges on new installations for new meters because we're using new high efficient ultrasonic meters, and it's the actual cost of the meter. So, like I said, I'm not quite sure what the question is and where it is, but if it's on the fire service itself, Chris, the fire service, Chris Levesque, the fire service for 6-inch is going from what to what?
It's going from $74.88 to $135 even a month.
And explain how you did the calculation with Dave Banker on the actual cross area.
Sure. Again, this is Chris Levesque. The calculation was based on AWWA standard M1 manual for setting water utility rates. And the way you do it is based on a demand factor. And the method that's prescribed here is based on basically a cross-sectional area of the pipe. So if when you go through, you apply a base standard to one pipe and then build off of that size to develop basically a proportional rate off of that standard size. So if you move from 1-inch, 2-inch, 3-inch, it's based on the cross-sectional area. And a note that we did phase in the 6-inch. Previous years, we did go up on the larger services. And this year was part of our plan to begin going towards leveling those rates with the smaller sizes. So we did start with some of the larger sizes first to bring it up to our true cost of service. And then, as Scott mentioned, on the 12-inch and larger, there are those three services that have been supplemented by the rest. So we're applying the correct proportion to the 16 and the two 16s and the 124.
All right. Thank you very much, Chris. Are there any other questions on water?
Just one more, Great. Chairman Sweezy, if I could.
Yep. Yes.
You know, I would really just – I'm a little disappointed that we can't come in here at a zero increase, and I was wondering if there's anything we can do. I know the mayor in Newington would like to see a zero increase, especially because of COVID, and it's my understanding that we're delivering the ad valorem at either zero or very close to zero. So is there anything that we could do?
This is Scott Jellison. So there's a bunch of things we could do. One of the things is to assume we're going to sell more water than we projected. I don't think that's
that
good idea, because we're already assuming that we're going to sell as much as we sold this year, and by history, we've been dropping 2% a year, and we didn't drop 2% this year. So I don't think that's a good idea. The only other thing is to raise rates. Now, we did not raise any of the customer service charge rates on the water meter service to a household or businesses. All of those rates were stayed stagnant from last year. The fire protection rate obviously went up on the larger meters and the 6-inch. Which generated roughly $1.2 million revenue, and that's why the water rate has come down, even with adding in Riverfront. So the only real thing we can do is increase revenue, I think we have we've already taken money from the reserve. And I don't recommend, taking money from the reserves because we've already taken a 1.4 and 1.7 million. we're, you know, it's the one thing that Chris Martin and his staff today sold bands, and we have received the lowest interest rate ever for a band, 0.258%. We got S&P awarded us an S&P 1+, highest rating ever, and utilizing our revenues or our reserves for reoccurring expenses is going to affect that rating.
Well, there's always a way you can reduce a budget, Scott. You can make cuts, okay? So
sure.
If it was up to me, this Chairman Sweezy, I would send it back to finance because they're meeting tomorrow night and see if they could not come up with some more cuts if we're talking $1.4 million. We just added $600,000 back into the budget. So if you can add money in, you can also take it out. And I don't care if it's in the recreation and revenue account, which when we get to that, I mean, that's a waste of money keeping some of those lakes open that cost us $50,000 to $60,000 a year for hardly any people that use them. So I agree with Dominic. I would like the finance committee to look at this again and to see if they could not. They did a great job on the town side. Buddy and his group, I attended a number of those meetings where I was on the phone. They did a great job as far as cutting and reducing the town increases to, like Dominic said, zero or very close. But I think I would hope they could maybe cut some more on the water rate to our 100,000-plus people that pay the rates, that pay the water bills. That would be
Mr. Chair, yep. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Commissioner Salemi, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make sure we get this, and, you know, if the Water Bureau decides to do that, you know, we'll take it up at the Board of Finance. But I want to make sure that everybody understands what the actual percentage increase, and right now we're talking about the water rate, the water consumption rate, which is, and so there are no other rate increases to the residential homeowner because they're not involved with any of these large service changes or any of that. So I just want to make sure that we have our staff confirm what I'm about to say. So 8 cents is about a 2% increase. Am I right about that?
Commissioner Salemi, we're looking at a you're talking about just the water rate. The overall increase, though, to a typical customer at 100 CCF is the rate that Commissioner Sweezy mentioned, 0.75% increase.
Well, can you explain to everyone how that, I mean, because the actual rate going from 397 to 405, is that where we're going?
Correct.
8 cents. That's 8 cents. 8 cents is about 2% of the 397.
Right.
So where's yeah. the rest of the increase coming from? So that's, you know.
So if I could, the water rate is up 2%, but when you factor in the other elements of what one pays against their bill, the overall increase for somebody who uses 100 CCF is only 0.75, three quarters of 1%.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure that we got clear that, you know, so that what the average homeowner will pay on their water bill is 0.75%. That's what you're saying right now, less
yes.
than 1% increase.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I wanted to get. Thanks.
Mr. Chairman, Chairman Sweezy,
yes.
I'm a little confused. The staff just told us it was $1.4 million increase on the water side, and we were told that $400,000 equals 1%. So that's like 3-point-something% increase on the water. So why are we talking about?
No, this? Mr. This is Scott Jellison. Just to clarify, $400,000 is on the Avalon side, Commissioner Payne. So that 400,000 is a 1% on the ad valorem. On the water side, yeah, I'm sorry, but on the water side, roughly $1 million is 5 cents and we don't really have a. I'm sure we could calculate the figure on the percentage, but as everyone remembers on the water bill, you have like four charges. A member town, you have a customer service charge, you have the clean water charge, you have the the water rate.
All right,
yeah. So, and none of those are increasing. And none of those are increasing, and that's why, although there's a 2% increase on the water rate, the overall bill is only increasing by less than 1%.
Okay, Scott, Ray Sweezy, you just said $1 million equals approximately 1% on the water side.
I said $1 million equals about 5 cents on the water rate.
Oh, 5 cents. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
And we reduced the
chairman,
rate by 7%.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Salemi again.
Yes,
sir. So included, I know it's at a, just so everybody knows where we're going with this, I know it's at a point where it's almost not worth talking about, but it's there. We still have the charge from the state DP, Department of Public Health charge, which was something like $3 a year for a residential customer, for all customers, I guess, is a flat rate against all customers. So where is that now? Can staff tell us where that is now? And because it doesn't show up anywhere. It's part of the water rate. But it's so can you explain what the charge is now, the actual amount per customer, and where
it turns up? Mr. Chairman, this is Chris Stone. We just got the bill in from the state. It's $1.87. per account. So the total is about, for the year, and this is 2021, $190,000.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
Can
I answer your question?
Yeah, Commissioner Salemi, this is John Myrtle.
Chairman, these are uncontrollable mandates from DPH. That's an unfunded mandate, is what I think.
An unfunded mandate.
Okay, John Myrtle.
Yeah, this is John Myrtle. Commissioner Salemi, I thought part of your question may have been where in your materials is the DPH fee or where in the rate setting. If you look at the top of page 5-2, it's called out as part of the resolution. It lists the DPH fee as 16 cents per month.
Right.
Okay, does anybody else have any questions on the district water chairman?
Commissioner Payne. This is Commissioner Payne. I'd like to make a motion that we send this back to finance to find some cuts to bring this down to zero for our ratepayers.
Is there a second?
Commissioner Gardo seconds that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also would like to send it back, have them look at it one more time tomorrow night. If we got to have a special meeting next Monday or something to make it work. But I still believe there's money to be saved. Whether I disagree putting the 600,000 in with Riverfront. I mean, I'm not saying you take it from Riverfront, but there's money that was put into the water rate to the payers, and I think there's money that can be brought out or some adjustments made. So I'd like Bud to look at it with his committee one more time. I know they're meeting tomorrow night.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Mandike. Can we just know what's on, like, where are we right now? What is the resolution, and are we then taking up questions on that or points?
Sure. Yes, we are. The resolution basically was to send back the proposed 2021 district water rates back to the Finance Committee before the Bureau of Public Water takes action on it.
And Mr. Chairman, a point of clarification again, Commissioner Mandike, and maybe Mr. Myrtle can share this with us. So if we do not pass these rates, I guess that's what we're really doing. We're not taking up a resolution. We're not passing the rates this evening.
Correct.
What happens then? Would that then go back to finance, and then finance has to look at it? What is the series of if the water board does not pass these rates?
The motion was to send it back to finance committee to finance to look at it one more time to see if there could be reductions to bring it down to zero from 0.75% to zero. and then bring it back to us. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, Chris Stone, what will happen is if the resolution passes, the Board of Finance will take up the issue tomorrow, and whether they revise the budget or not, it'll be resubmitted to the Water Bureau at another special meeting before the board acts on it.
Chris Stone, this is Scott Jellison and John Myrtle. Just a question for process. So if the mm-hmm. Board of Finance chose to cut any monies and change the rates, whatever they might be, from what we're presenting tonight, would we need another public hearing?
No, so long as the rate's lower, you won't need another public hearing.
Okay, thank you.
Does any other commissioners have any thing to say on the motion?
Mr. Chairman, just one more point of clarification, yep. Commissioner Mandyke. Are we just looking at the water rate, or is that for all the changes in all the rates? Or is it
I believe it's just the water rate. But, Dominic, you can answer that. You made the motion.
Well, when it goes back to finance, they could make decisions on either making additional cuts, or they might want to modify their revenues on the water to achieve the same thing. I believe that there's enough cuts that we don't have to increase our revenues. I think there's plenty of cuts that can be made to reduce the budget.
Again, Mr. Chairman, yes. Commissioner Mandyke, again, I guess if we're going to do this, I'm trying to figure out why not just go ahead and approve the rates as they are with the recommendation to the Finance Committee that they look at it. So then the rates are approved. So if they choose to make it, we're not going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth on this.
If
I might, Mr. Chairman,
okay.
Chris Stone, these are changes to our ordinances. And so if you're going to change the ordinance to adopt the rates as they are presented to you tonight, that becomes the subject to the board approval, that becomes the ordinance. But if the finance board changes that, you've got to come back and pass a revised ordinance.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. The motion, John, do you want to basically read what it was so everybody understands?
Yes, this is John Myrtle. The motion on the floor is to refer the 2020 proposed water rates to the Board of Finance to reduce the water rate increase to $0.00.
Okay. All in favor?
Scott Jellison, can I just clarify motion? It's just the water rate, not the fire protection rates or anything like that,
yeah,
right?
That's what he said.
No, water rate.
Just the water rate, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
The water side of the budget, the $90 million or whatever it is.
This is Gary LeBlanc, the question.
Yes, Gary.
So really what we're asking to happen here is that the Finance Committee would either come up with cuts. Probably the only way they can get there is to get through cuts totaling how much in order to get it down to zero increase.
I believe the number was $1.4 million.
So we're essentially asking the Finance Committee to try to find $1.4 million.
Whether it's revenues or the 1.4, yes.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to clarify.
And I don't know what, John, you would need for a legal notice to have another special meeting if they act tomorrow night or if they do not act.
Thank you.
We bring it back next week on Monday or whatever day you want to bring it back. I mean, what do you need, 3-day notice?
Our under the Freedom of Information laws, where we need 24 hours notice, we have okay, made
24
it,
hours.
Yeah, and we so made an NBC policy to post agendas and notices 5 days in advance. So, I mean, if Finance acts tomorrow, we could have a new meeting scheduled and then have it on Monday of next week, without a problem.
Perfect. So that'll be no problem, and it won't hold anything up, and hopefully the Finance Committee can reduce the budget some and get bringing in like they have on the town side. Again, all in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
Motion passes.
This is John Merck. This is John Merck. Can the nay vote? I believe it was a single vote. Can you identify yourself just so I have it for the minute?
Commissioner Mandyke, Mr. Myrtle.
Thank you, Commissioner Mandyke.
Six, consideration potential action 2021 water assessment rates and miscellaneous water charges. Scott? Or Chris?
Chris. John Myrtle probably is the best one to address this, and then Chris Levesque can step in.
All right. Thank you, Scott. This is John Myrtle. The second item is, as the title described, it's the miscellaneous water rates. It relates to different charges for installation of meters, hydrants, expense or fees for shutting off for non-payment, for turning back on, lien releases. It's a wide variety. We have made some kind of bigger changes last year, consolidating different types of charges, implementing an administrative review for different services. This year, there's no significant changes. It's just updating some of the rates that are currently in effect.
And this is Scott Jelsa, if I may add, so there are some changes that are significant. And if you look at the rate structures for installing a new meter, especially when you get to the larger sizes, like the 6-inch, the issue about phasing in. So a 6-inch meter, we're utilizing new technology, and that cost is significant. It's almost three times what the original mechanical meters were. And we didn't feel that phasing that in was fair to the rest of the ratepayers, because it's an actual cost. It's real. So the rates have, for a new installation of a meter, have gone up significantly. The other significant thing that we've done is, it's more of an administrative nightmare, is, as you probably know, we have lots of Pat the pool man people coming in and loading their trucks, typically 7,500 gallons, and their business is to fill pools. To fill a 7,500 gallon truck is about less than $20, but the administrative nightmare to do that is significant. And so we've tried to do different things over the years to make it less impactful to the staff. And we did install a new system where it's an automatic valve, and it automatically meters the discharge. And we instituted a credit card machine right at the machine. And there's a lot of, you know, technical issues with charging and setting up accounts and all that good stuff. We finally realized, Chris Levesque had indicated that our competitors like Aquarion and Regional, they simply charge a flat fee of $50. And it more than covers the water. It more than covers the administrative task. And so we've changed that this year. We tried to keep all the other rates relatively stagnant, given some of the other increases we've had on fire protection, but that's basically a summary of the issues.
Questions to Scott or any staff members?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Adel?
Yes.
I don't know if Al's on the phone, but given Al's drumbeat of making sure every customer pays for what it costs us to do things, I would certainly support this and move that we move this as quickly as possible. We're now going into public works time, so we should try to move this along if we can.
Okay, move the resolution, Andy, please.
I would like to move the resolution support, please.
I second it.
Okay. Are there any other statements or questions? Okay. All in favor of consideration potential action water assessment 2021 rates?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Number seven, discussion fees for recreation and revenues.
You want yeah, Mr. Chairman Scott Jellison, so I know this has been a hot topic for a number of years, and as you know, we don't make a lot of money in terms of at Lake Medina or anywhere, you know, in terms of covering our costs. Chris Levesque, how much revenue? And this was an odd year, as you know, with COVID. And we had lots of complaints, and we had lots of complaints at West Hartford Filter and at Resi 6. But Chris Levesque, how much revenue did we make at the boathouse and the boat launch area?
Yeah, this is Chris Levesque. We made $14,240, and that spanned from just after 4th of July into the first week of September that the boathouse was open.
And the cost to run that facility, what, approximately $60,000?
Yeah, that's what we had estimated previously. And there we go. It was approximately our cost for the duration.
Okay. Scott, I'd like to bring this up at our next meeting because we have a couple other things, and if we're running late, I know Richie's got his meeting. But on this, I mean, if it's costing us $60,000, we're taking in $12,000-$14,000. I would like to see the fees raised up a few bucks. We raised them, what, from $750 to $1,250 this year per lawn?
Yes.
I think we ought to look at a season, a one-time season pass. If you want to bring your boat on the lake, you pay, say, $200, $250. We can look. I know what Rocky Hill does. And we look at something like that where if we at least start getting some of the revenues for our costs. Then we don't need a person there taking in money every time somebody comes in and wants to launch their boat. You'd be better off having a one-time fee. But let's discuss that possibly at the next Water Bureau meeting.
That's fine.
That's all right.
And yes, and we are looking at virtual. So we are looking at people buying their season pass during the winter months, and we won't be manning those gates. So we can save money on administrative costs.
That's my
idea.
We'll
work on that.
You can update us on the next meeting, okay?
We'll do.
Okay, thank
we'll
you.
We'll do. Thank you.
A discussion across the water main replacement. Number eight.
I got Susan Negrelli and Chris Levesque.
Yeah.
Susan.
Hi, good evening. Susan Negrelli. I don't know how much time you want to spend on this. You know, we sent out John sent a presentation to all of you. And it's kind of hard to do, you know, without visualizing it on your screen. But I just wanted to give you some, I don't want to go through the whole thing like slide by slide because I know we're a little short on time, but I'll just touch on some of the topics here. You know, in 2017, we were charged with installing, replacing more water main than we have been doing in the past. And we formed a team between engineering, operations, and procurement to come up with ideas on how we can replace more water main in a more cost-effective manner. And that's what we call our accelerated water main program, and we've been working on it for the past few years. So I just want to highlight on some of that program in this presentation real quick. So most importantly, I know if you have it in front of you, you know, we still have 164 miles of pipe that's older than 100 years old. What we're doing with this program is we're trying to look at the troublesome pipe, the pipe with break history that's old, that's undersized, and where we have a clear line assignment in the street to put in to replace a water main while keeping the existing one active. So we're looking for the low-hanging, easy installations for this program that we've been doing. if you look on slide, again, I'm skipping through this quickly. You have all the information, but if you look at slide 5, it's an orange bar chart. It's called annual installation history. You can see that pre the recession years up to 2007, how much Maine was going in. A lot of that was developers. There was a sharp decline during the recession years of 08, 09. We were replacing a lot of mains again in 2012 and 13 with our sewer separation projects. And then it declined again. But you can see on that chart the last 3 years how the steady increase in the installation has gone up. And on slide 6, which is the replacement chart, you can see that over the last 3 years, we've replaced about 4 miles in 18, 6 miles in 19, and we replaced over 8 miles this year in 2020. So we've been significantly increasing our water main replacement. And in doing so, as you keep going through here, and, you know, I know all of you have this presentation, so if you have questions, you know, you can email me and I can get you any information you want. As I said, we wanted to replace more Maine in a cost-effective manner, so there's a number of cost-saving measures that we've implemented. How we handle soils, how we replace the pavement now, how we are doing some of these without hiring consultants for design services, how we are looking forward to procuring materials ourselves instead of the contractors doing it. These are all cost-saving measures that we've implemented and put into our accelerated water main program. But mostly, I just want to get skipping towards the end here. I want to get to, we've also utilized our own staff, our operations staff. They have been instrumental in supporting our accelerated water main program. We replaced 8 miles this year, but we've put in another 2 miles. We've put in over 10 miles, almost 11 miles of water main this year. Operations has to support us, MDC operations. We have a couple of ordinances which prohibit anyone from working on a live MDC main. So our operations crews are spread pretty thin supporting our accelerated water main replacement program and supporting our regular design bid build contract doing prep work. They're the ones going into the busy intersections and extending, you know, tapping the main and extending the main to the side street so that our contractors can come in and just run it down the side streets. They are the ones supporting, again, the 10 miles of main. And you could see some of the data we put on slide 13 that shows you this year alone, we've done over 1,000 taps with our own crews. And in 2017, before this program started, they did 280 taps. So that's just taps. That's not all the prep work, the cut and cap and the abandoning the old mains, all of the prep work that goes with supporting 10 miles of new main. So the biggest thing, though, as you move forward here is with our accelerated water main program, we are installing water main at an average of $365 a foot, which is much less than our typical, you know, over $500 or $600 a foot for regular design bid build contracts. We're saving, we've saved over $9 million in construction costs using this program, and we've saved another $3.5 million in design costs. And then I know you want to, there's some more discussion about using MDC forces, and I'm going to turn it over to Chris Levesque.
Before Chris starts, I just want to summarize the reasons why Sue and her staff are doing what they're doing. I mentioned this before. This is Scott Jellison. Sorry. Boston started installing 17 miles of water main in 1980. Since 2010, they've been installing 10 miles. In January of 2018, Boston had 3 water main breaks. The MDC had 100. So In 1980, they started installing 17 miles. Boston is relatively, they've got 600,000 customers. We've got 400,000. So, you can do the math. They're a little bigger than us, but not much. But the point is that we are so far behind the curve, and that's why Boston had three breaks in 18, and we had 100. The DPH is requesting and mandating that you replace 10% of your system a year. That's 150 miles a year. That's impossible, right? We're replacing less than 1%, even at 10 miles. So before we started this program 2.5 years ago, we were doing 2 miles or less. So we're even if at 10 miles a year, less than 1% for 1,500 miles, it's going to take us another 100 years to replace our system. And the system's already 200 years old. So that's why this is so incredibly important to get this water main installed. We're starting to, Chris is going to start to talk about how we've seen and start to see the impacts of our break history. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, Chris, just 1 second, Commissioner Sweezy. Does anybody have any questions on Susan's part of this before we get to Chris?
Ray, this is Al Taylor.
Yes, Al.
I guess my question is this. Given that we may see a huge infrastructure program coming down the pike, is there any way that we can take a look at this and come up with a notion or fit it into the notion that this could be something that could be characterized as shovel-ready? And try to fit it in under the infrastructure program at all?
Yes, Commissioner, this is Scott Jellison. We have submitted all of our projects to DPH for that very reason under the WERDA program.
Yeah. And this is Chris Levesque. We had a specific conversation with DPH knowing that there may be an infrastructure bill coming in Q1 of this year specific about this. And utilizing our accelerated water main contract to potentially receive that grant funding under the program.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions from, yes, Commissioner Patel?
In-house design and fast installation, which Susan described, is a correct approach. And I think it shows the results. And I think we should continue along that line. In some areas, yes, we need contractors and emphasize what Susan does. If she needs more people, if she needs more support staff, let's do those.
Okay, thank you. Any other commissioners? Okay, Chris, you want
to? Sure. The presentation, I believe, was sent out this morning for this. So there, we did put together a comparison from our contractor installed pipelines, as well as MDC enforced, MDC staff installed water mains. And just a little history on this, Scott did bring this up. And as part of this, many of you may remember in 2018, we had our worst January in history as far as the number of leaks. And a lot of us in operations lived through that. And we did make a decision as we started going down this road for accelerated water main to then begin addressing some of those low hanging fruit pipelines that were giving us that broke up to 2 or 3 times just in that January and February of that year. So we did accelerate the program to get closer to the 10 miles within the first 2 years. But looking back at it, we did begin analyzing some of the costs associated with it. So what I did was simplify the explanation is I looked at mainline, which is the mainline pipeline installation. And so that excludes the services and the hydrants. So it's basically the production installation. And with all the variables considered, the base cost per foot is about $200 for a contractor and about $224.50 for MDC staff to install. Some of the components into that calculation that we looked at is we obtain the labor fringe benefits and the administrative costs, basically payroll additives and general overhead provided by MDC Finance, and that was applied directly to our labor cost. And one other component that we looked at, and it's also noted on the presentation, is that one of the main difference between contractors and our staff is a lot of the contractors, they work about 8 months for the year. So they start in the middle of April and beginning of April, and they conclude their season right about now. So middle of November. And if we can push them through, we'll try to get a couple extra months or a month in between at the beginning and end of the season. One of the things is that we don't necessarily see a lot of the or don't see any of the personal time off components of maintaining a labor staff. So what I did was I was able to calculate an equivalent size based on our ability to maintain the appropriate crew sizes, whether it's mainline, service renewals, hydrant installations. Our operations crews are staffing crews appropriately for the job. We've begun doing this just this summer, where we're sizing the crews appropriately for the job, where it's not always a six-man crew going out to do a dig job. We're sizing them appropriately for the scope of the work. So based on this, we would see approximately about a 20% increase in labor, a 20% increase in the number of staffing needed. So that component of the 20% was applied as a additional cost on the labor component of which would bring about $245 per linear foot. So these are some of the components we looked at, and if we were to address, and we do not address 10 miles of water main with the accelerated water main contract. We do have other complicated water main replacements that are under a design bid build contracts. But if we were to do approximately 10 miles per year, we would need about 69 employees to do that. That being considered on top of what we have would provide an issue for us during the winter, as we are sized appropriately right now to address the repairs. And I will say that we've seen a dramatic decrease in the number of main breaks since this program has started. We are well below the median for the AWW baseline standards for water utilities for number of water main breaks per 100 miles. So the effects are good, but we are sized appropriately right now in operations to respond for emergencies during the winter. And one other note on this is I did provide a slide on some of the priorities for MDC operations. As Susan mentioned, we've had a dramatic increase on operations support for supporting these projects, whether it's new taps, cutting in T's and valves, doing cutoffs at the end of the projects, all the service taps that we have to do. We've basically doubled the number of service taps we did just in 2019. And one of the things that we were stressing about initially with COVID is making sure that we can sustain this. And we did modify our operations. Typically, years past, we would operate out a larger crew to go do this, but we were able to staff down and complete them with two staff. These are the types of things that we're doing to maintain our service levels across. Other items are service renewals. As Scott mentioned in other meetings, we respond to all the town paving programs just in East Hartford. We did 56 renewals in Handel and Evans Street in a matter of 2 weeks, which was pretty impressive. But there is a ton of components in here that if we have time, I'll go through. But if not, please let me know, and we'll.
You don't have to go through them, Chris.
Okay.
Thank you. Susan, I want to thank you. And Chris, I want to thank you for your reports. Does any commissioners or.
Yep. Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Payne.
Could we keep this on the agenda, please? I disagree with a lot of things that were said tonight. For him to suggest that our in-house crews are more expensive than contractors is ridiculous. After being in business for over 30 years, that's impossible. I don't want to argue it right now because I know we have other things to do. But if we could put this on the agenda, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, Scott, move that to January or, you know,
no
January,
problem.
February,
that,
when we come back, we'll also discuss it again, okay? But thank you, Susan, for a great report, and Chris Lebeck also. Is that all right with everybody? We'll just move it forward. Number nine, discussion, Berlin Water Control Commission. I know Chris Lebeck and Attorney Myrtle have been working with the Berlin Control Commission, Water Commission, trying to get the billing straightened out and our payments. I believe most of it has been done. I believe the Berlin Water believes that just on the water side, we're not going to be talking sewer tonight or anything, this is just on the water side, that the district still owes some money. So is someone from the water?
Yes, good evening. This is Ray Jarema with Berlin Water Control.
Statement.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Sweezy, for the opportunity to present this because, as Chairman Sweezy pointed out, I have been working with Chris Levesque and actually Jason Waterbury with regards to the sewer portion of it, and there are still issues with that, but that's another issue. With the water portion, I was hired by the by Berlin Water Control after retiring from the State Health Department in the drinking water section. And one of the nicest things I could find was that we had a connection with the MDC, which would provide 500,000 gallons per day. We typically we use about 1.1 million gallons per day. Half of that is produced at our well field, and the other half is purchased by the New Britain Water Department. Unbeknownst to me is that connection, that booster station located on Raleigh Street, which is the dividing line between Newington and Berlin, was non-functional. So I spent $300,000 to repair that. In doing that, we found several agreements that had been in place and had been ignored over the years. One, for instance, on Willow Lane, which is a little subdivision in Newington off of Raleigh Street, and customers on Raleigh Street. These customers are basically utilizing our water, but have never been paid to us as reimbursements. When this was pointed out to the MDC back in 2016, they did end up paying us for the first 6 years. What I'm asking for is to go back to 1991, where those individuals were not our customers and we didn't receive compensation for that, to 2009, which is about $30,000 to $35,000. This is on the water side, and I think personally this is something that was ignored. Primarily, I believe it's mostly our problem because we've never had individuals who really looked at this as a career, and as a result of that, never paid attention to a lot of these things and then never passed it along to new individuals as they came on board. But we did pay for the water, we did produce the water, but we weren't compensated for the water. And I'm kind of looking for the fairness and equity in this process by having some payment towards that.
Commissioner Sweezy, so basically you supplied the water to our client, our customers. We have billed our customers for that water and collected it, and you've never been paid.
Correct. I've been paid for a portion of that. Yeah,
right. I know a portion of it. You said back some amount of years. So, Chris Lebeck, could you answer some of that? I mean, do you believe, looking through this, that we do owe them the $33,000, whatever was just mentioned?
Sure. Yeah. So, just some background, and this is Chris Lebeck. Thanks, Ray, for providing the information, but. And as part of the discussions, we did have a statute of limitations that we were working with. So one of the things that we did do, we did pay Berlin through 2009 to the present, and we paid approximately $36,000 so far, Ray, I believe. So Ray Jarema.
Yes, that's close, right.
Yep, and then what we're looking at right now is the area that staff are unable to make the decision based on our based on the statute of limitations. So what Major Rima is looking for is a discussion amongst the board to review previous services provided by Berlin for Rocky Hill customers, so the water service customers to this area from 1990 to about 2009.
Just a small correction to that, Chris. This is for the Newington portion of the water supply.
Newington, Raleigh Road. Yep. So that was 1990 to 2009. And as Ray Jarema stated, it's approximately $32,000 to $35,000. And we didn't go back and fully calculate, but based on the information that we shared with each other, it's about approximately $32,000 to $35,000.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions from any commissioners?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Payne.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Payne. I think the fair thing would be to pay Berlin this past amount. And I'd like to make a motion that we move it to district board for a discussion.
Is there a second?
Second, Commissioner Adams.
Okay. So if we move this forward, we're being told that the bill will be between, say, $30,000 and $35,000, and that would make us fully paid on the water side for everything we owe Berlin.
On the water side currently, water. Yes.
Yeah, on the water side, right? That's all we're talking about is the water. So, okay. Is there any discussion on the motion? All in favor of sending it to the district board for discussion?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so John, the Myrtle, if we could have this on our next agenda.
Thank you very much, Commissioners.
And if Chris Levesque has anything to put, we have a report beforehand, Chris, on this, the board.
Yeah, this is Chris Levesque. I'll have the numbers, and prior to that, Ray Dream and I, and we'll review the exact and provide an exact number.
Commissioner, okay. Chairman, Commissioner DeBella. I would recommend that we move this to the Board of Finance to look at it first so we don't have to send it back from the board.
Perfect. Okay, so.
Without objection.
What do we do, John? Yes. All in favor?
We can refer it
to the Board of Finance. That's a much better way to do it. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so it'll be referred to the Board of Finance sometime in December or January.
Okay, thank you very much again.
And we'll get an answer back to you. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Number 10, opportunity for general public comments.
Yes, this is Judy Allen, West Hartford. Last evening, Save Our Water Connecticut submitted comments at the water rates.
Yes.
The Niagara District. It's very apparent that Niagara doesn't buy any more water than the bottle, and they don't use less as the demand rises. In just 6 months, the MDC lost $250,000 in potential revenue. If you really want to keep water rates down, looking at these discounts, that's a lot of money that you're losing because of discounts for water that they're going to use anyway. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other public comments? Commissioners, comments, questions? Motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Okay, meeting's adjourned. John, do we stay on this call for public works? What do we call in again?
Yes, nope. This is the correct number for public works.
Okay,
is Chairman Vecino on the call?
Yes, I'm on the call.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Commissioner. I believe based on the commissioners that I've seen, we do already have a quorum for Public Works. So we